Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. And I love him. I thank God for how he's helping us go forward. The Lord is with us in our plight. And the reason I say that is because we're born in darkness, and the darkness wants to keep us down. It wants to hold us back any which way it can. You know, Clint Eastwood made a movie one time, any which way you can. But nevertheless, the darkness is trying its best to hold us back. And it's a plight. And you got to want to come out of it. You got to want to be free from it. And you want to, you got to desire the things of God and not be limited. You have to choose all these things. And this whole week I've been talking about such things. And the Lord loves us. He cares about us in every way. And unless you draw near to him and he draw near to you, a lot of things may not be realized. But the more we go in God's presence and receive what he has to say, the higher our chances are that we will succeed. Daniel said, they that do know the Lord will be strong and do exploits. So knowing the Lord is very important. And I don't know another way to do this. The things that happened in my life that I kept choosing to go forward, I had so many questions. And I learned these things. My life was not pristine. I was having a hard time. Every day was a new difficulty, you know. But I had that that's why it's so important for there to be good churches. And the Lord has to, he thinks of everything. We have to persevere. If we persevere, then we're going to help people go with us. The people that were before me, they persevered. They chose the way of God. They were heroes, all of them. Even though they had faults, because I got faults, everybody got faults, but they're heroes because they persevere. Elder Lewis worked at a factory in Detroit, and he quit his job to be a full-time minister. So that's a hero. And then he moved to another city at God's guidance. That's a hero. He took time and went forward. And because of what he did, it helped me. You know, Mom Powell, one day she got saved and she grew in the Lord. And she went to church for years to get to the point where she could have a relationship with the Lord. And she was a hero. My parents, you know, they went through all the things that they did. My daddy's parents got murdered when he was 5 years old, and he was raised by his grandparents, but his grandparents took him to church, and he learned of God, and he learned to do things right, and he had his own problems, but he became a hero. He forgave the man that killed his parents. He changed. He developed. It wasn't easy for him. He didn't even want to be a preacher. But he used to say, those church bells ain't ringing for me. And because he was running from the ministry. He joined World War II running from the ministry. He came back a minister. All the things we go through in life, it's a setup. The enemy is against us. My mother, her parents had 10 children that she grew up with. And she had older brothers from her father's first marriage. And one of them got killed, so that was a lot of pain in her life. She survived the house fire, and her sister she died from the house fire. And they got her out of the flame, but she was burned. But she died a few days later. So that was a lot of problems and scars. And my mother lived with different grandparents, so her daddy could work long hours, and she desired. She wanted her family to be with her. And my dad wanted he had a strong devotion for family because he had to go from he lived with his grandparents and worked fields, and he wanted his own family, you know. So their marriage, I don't know how they did it, but they did it. They had a marriage that I desire. I wanted that. I wanted that kind of marriage because they overcame. People overcome problems. And if you anybody that know my daddy that didn't grow up with him, they wouldn't have known the harsh beginning that he had. And he tried to make my life comfortable. And he did. He bought me go-karts, mini bikes, bicycles, things like that. But when mama told me all the background, I appreciated it. But my dad said, I'm going to buy you this go-kart, but I want you to do the same thing for your children. So I did. And I got my children things like that. So it's important. And I put my nephews a go-kart together. I put my son a go-kart together. And I made it happen, you know. And but I had a good beginning. They had a hard beginning. I had a hard adult life. So when I began to walk in God's way, my life got more difficult because the enemy don't want people to know God. You know, and I'm sure everybody had their difficulties. Every hero is not without a fight. And I learned some things along the way that really helped me prepare. Now, last night, the Lord gave me Jeremiah chapter 12. And I want to go over a little bit of, that's why, you know, I love to flow with the Lord. And Jeremiah considered everything. If you've studied the book of Jeremiah, all the things that he went through, it was not pristine. It was, they called him the weeping prophet. He's trying to get people to go back to God and serve God and live a covenant life. And so God could bless them, but they were hard-headed people that had to go into captivity. And Jeremiah didn't want to see his country go into captivity. That's like North Korea's going to come take over America. And I warn people that they're going to come and go humble yourself and give yourself to the king of North Korea. And he's going to take you where he wants to and do what he wants to with you. But if you humble yourself and become his servant and his slave, you won't die, and the Lord will protect you. I wouldn't want to tell somebody something like that. But the country had become so corrupt, it was time for him to go into captivity. That was the only way, that was the best option. So God raised up a king that nobody thought would win, Nebuchadnezzar. Nobody was afraid of him, but God raised him up and took over everything. And he judged Nebuchadnezzar was instrumental in judging Baal worship. And then the Lord raised up Daniel to guide him. So what we have to do, we're on the scene now. And you're in the same position that Jeremiah was in. You got to tell people what's going to happen. You got to encourage people to live a covenant life and get saved so they can avoid the tragedy that is coming. And and people are doing so much stuff, it's coming quick. But at this time, when I read chapter 12, he's given me this chapter many times, but this time I saw something I didn't see. Now, Jeremiah 1, verse 1, Jeremiah 12, verse 1, Jeremiah, he's considering something. He said, "Righteous art thou, O Lord, when I plead with thee, yet let me talk with thee of thy judgments. Why do the way of the wicked prosper? And why are all they happy that deal very treacherously? You have planted them." I'm kind of skipping over the old English because it makes it more personal. "You have planted them. Yes, they have taken root. They grow. Yes, they bring forth fruit. You are near their mouth and far from their reins. But you, O Lord, knowest me that you have seen me and tried my heart toward you. Pull them out like sheep for the slaughter and prepare them for the day of slaughter. I want to see the judgment on them," Jeremiah saying. "How long shall the land mourn and the herbs of every field wither? for the wickedness of them that dwell therein. The beasts are consumed, and the birds, because they said, he shall not see our last end. See, when people live a rogue life, it affects nature, because what you do, the earth is tied to what you do. If you have dominion, all men have dominion over the earth. So if men are corrupt, you're going to have droughts and deserts and problem. It's going to be problematic. You're not going to have the food you need. And it'll affect the animals, the beasts of the field and the birds of the air. Then he said in verse 5, this is the Lord talking now. If thou hast run with the footmen and they have wearied thee, then how can thou contend with horses? And if in the land of peace wherein thou trust they weary you, then how will you do in the swelling of Jordan? Now this is God's question to Jeremiah. Jeremiah had a question to God, and God got one for him. But it's an eye-opening question. Then the Lord points something out. Now look at all the struggles of darkness that you can go through. Verse 6, family. He said, for even thy brethren and the house of thy father, even they have dealt treacherously with thee. Yea, they have called a multitude after you. Believe them not, though they speak fair words unto you. There are people that set themselves up to be your enemy that are close to you. The darkness can come whoever will yield to it. In this case, Jeremiah's own family, his brethren, friends, people that he trusted were against him and calling a multitude after him. So darkness is coming through his close friends and family. Verse 7, he said, I have forsaken mine house. I have left mine heritage. I have given the dearly beloved of my soul into the hand of her enemies. And this is the Lord talking to Jeremiah again. You know, his own people are betraying him. And his people are mingled in with him. He's showing Jeremiah the situation. He gave him a reference, a family reference, and then his position. He has people that he loves and care about. And then he has people that say they're his, but they're betraying those that are his, that love him. Those that have fallen and claim to be God's people are working against people that really love God and are in covenant with him. Then he said, mine heritage is unto me as a lion in the forest. It crieth out against me, therefore have I hated it. So God has people that have went rogue, lukewarm. A lukewarm man tries to serve two gods. And the best picture I know of is King Saul. He knew the language of God. He knew the heart of God. He trusted the prophets of God at one point. But when it came to his pride, he loved Satan. And he became very treacherous. So a man like Saul is against a man like David. And God has to deal with it. And Jeremiah, up to this point, thought he had problems. Now he's seeing the problems that God has. Then he said this in verse 9, my heritage is unto me as a speckled bird. The birds around about are against her. Come ye, assemble all the beasts of the field. Come to devour. They're trying to get other animals to eat the animals that really love God, the birds that really love God. Now it's coming. Now, you know, you think that the attack, you're looking at the attack. Okay, it can come from family and friends. It can come from false brethren. Well, I thank God we got good leaders. Well, here, look at verse 10. Verse 10 said, many pastors have destroyed my vineyard. They have trodden down my portion underfoot. They have made my pleasant portion a desolate wilderness. Now you got an attack from the people that's supposed to be helping you go forward. You got an attack from the pastors. They hate the heritage of God too. And when it comes to their pride and luxury and things like that, not all. And you know, if you follow God, it's a prospering way. So every pastor that had and every man of God that have become wealthy, if they did it the right way, it's a prospering way. You can't be surprised that people prosper. But there are people with evil intent that love this world, and they do darkness. And that's what God is talking to Jeremiah about. See, the way of God is a prospering way. You just have to use the prosperity according to the... If God prospered me, when he taught me about the cycle of life, he, you know, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, and have dominion over it. Most people obey the first two. They're fruitful and they multiply. And then they try to, they start looking at the money or the wealth or the power that it gives. And they lose sight there. And they don't contribute anymore to society. Now, if God prosper you, the first two steps, replenish. Now, use the money that God has blessed you with to be a greater, you know, you can start businesses. You can start a music studio. Get the young people that are talented in the church or to start. First of all, I tell musicians this that love God. I say, go get a strong relationship with the Lord. You're already good at playing the instruments and singing. You need a relationship now. And God will give you songs that will break yokes. But most people don't do that. They just sing in the quiet church and that's it. They don't expect it to be. I'm going to tell you something about music. When I was at Life in Abundance, I used to try to get the praise team. When I would pray with the praise team, I say, Lord, heal people as we sing. I knew that the anointing could do that. And I prayed that all. I wanted them to get on board with the fact that you're not just singing music to sound good. You're ministering. See, the anointing, if you yield to it, it can do greater things. And before I left that church, a lady was out there listening to the praise song and got healed. So you can't limit. If you limit God, he's limited. But if you have a relationship and you know, men of God that are wealthy, they what do? Throw the money in the bank. The bank's going to lend the money to somebody else and make interest for themselves. But what you have to do, if you see something forming, if you got people that, you know, the Lord will point them out who to invest in. If you build a studio and then they get they do a song and it becomes a hit song that bless people, they can put money back into the studio. And then you can help other people do the same thing. You can start doing things in other countries. You can get musicians all about. Get them stirred up. It's hard for a man of God musician or a woman of God musician that is anointed, that do go in prayer. They don't have any backing and they don't know the music industry. I'm just using that for an example. This goes further than just music. It goes for anything you can think about. There are people with ideas. There are people that have multi-million dollar ideas and that they don't have anybody to back them. It's very difficult to get a patent. And then there are people that's got millions and billions just sitting around. But they want to invest. God will give you the insight you need to get the job done. If you love the big picture, you got to put into it. And that's what I'm trying to get to. God has prospered me. I went through a lot. Nothing was easy. I had all of these attacks that the Lord is pointing out to Jeremiah. When he began complaining about the wicked, God is showing him the reality of it. Now he's getting a revelation of why they're about to go into captivity. He said, many pastors have destroyed my vineyard. They have trodden down my portion underfoot. They have made my pleasant portion a desolate wilderness. They have made it desolate, and being desolate, it mourneth unto me. The whole land is made desolate because no man lays it to heart. People don't even consider what the possibilities that they have and what their wickedness is actually doing. Now, this problem exists on both sides. The men and women of God, they don't realize the power they have. And those that are against them don't realize the ditch that they're digging for themselves as they try to kill God's people and hinder God's people. See, the world, darkness don't just sit around and wait. It hates the light because it hates to be exposed. It wants to kill what's exposing them because they think that they're going to expose me and I won't be able to get away with all the things I'm getting away with. So there's an enmity between Jesus' people and Satan's people. And it's going to always be that way. So people that don't realize this, they go and marry somebody without considering whether they really love God or not. If they really love darkness, they're going to be a problem if you really love God. And if you really love darkness and they really love God, it's still going to be a problem. You have to be equally yoked. And this chapter is very sobering. Verse 12 says, the spoilers are come upon all high places through the wilderness. For the sword of the Lord shall devour from one end of the land even to the other end of the land. No flesh shall have peace. Now, the spoilers, they always go to the high places. The spoilers Satan tried to plant his spoilers in the highest places of the land. The preachers in the pulpit. The mayors, the governors, council people, Congress, Senate, House. This is an attack. Look at that again. The spoilers are come upon all high places through the wilderness. Now this means everywhere you look, a place of position and power, there's a spoiler. That's not an accident, it's an attack, just like Jeremiah's brothers. So now you got rogue pastors, now you got people in, you know, when I go to the courts, well, the courts are loaded too. You take your case to the courts, they hate you too. You take your case to the pastor, he don't like you, but he act like you do. You can't trust your family, you can't trust your friends, you can't trust. You go to church, the people that love the world, they're against you. The pastors, they're rogue. Now you're gonna go to court, they're rogue. The laws of the land, they hate you too, the lawmakers. Okay, now, verse 13. They have sown wheat, but shall reap thorns. They have put themselves to pain, but shall not profit. And they shall be ashamed of your revenues because of the fierce anger of the Lord. If you follow God, God can raise you up anyway. The theme of this is to trust God before you trust anybody else. And let Him show you your real friends and your real brothers and your real pastors. And your real leaders of the land. And vote for them. Now, thus saith the Lord, all mine evil neighbors that touch the inheritance which I have caused my people Israel to inherit, behold, I will pluck them out of their land and pluck out the house of Judah from among them. So the land belongs to God. And all of his evil neighbors, he's going to remove them out of the heritage of Israel, out of the land. And then he said, and it shall come to pass after that I have plucked them out, I will return and have compassion on them and will bring them again, every man to his heritage, every man to his land. Now we know what happened. He was there. They were there for 70 years in Babylon. Now they got kicked out, but they had to believe their way back. All of them didn't go back. The most faithful people went back. You never forget that. Many of them stayed where they were. They're Jewish people living in other lands now. But in our lifetime, they came back. They began to come back from Russia and other places, Germany. So Israel, they've come from all over the earth. They are one people with varied backgrounds. So their potential is very high if they love God. But see, it takes time for the things of darkness to be undone. Just because you have a rough beginning don't mean you're going to have a rough ending. If you draw near to the Lord, he'll show you how to prosper right where you are. And this is the thing. Most people have what they need already. They just don't know they don't realize it. A lot of things are not realized when you're not paying attention to God. If you think you already know what to do, you're limited. But there are options we have right now in real time that if we look, take a closer look, we'll know what to do. And if we yield to the Lord, we'll know how to help people. And how to, you know, you see people that can sing and play instruments and get them to go. And, you know, you can't do that without worship. There's no anointing without praise and worship, without prayer. If they have any musician that love God, if they start receiving the revelation of God, they can become very anointed, and then they can be recordable. And most churches have what they need in-house to do a studio without even paying for studio time. They just got to get people that know how to do it. They have the mixing board. They got everything they need, and even the prayer room. But first, you have to look at what God has given. God, you know, if you don't include Him, He's not going to just point it out for you. You got to want this. If you don't want it, then, you know, you just ain't qualified. But if you want it, it's there. God will give us the wisdom to do whatever we got to do. Now, because I'm a man of prayer and I go in His presence, if you go in prayer long enough, you're going to come out a man of vision or a woman of vision. And then when you become anointable, He's going to anoint you, and he'll give you something to do. If you're faithful, it's going to increase. If you're not faithful, He's going to stop talking to you because it's a waste of time. He'll love you. He'll bless you wherever you let Him. But if you know, we have the power to rise above it all. That's the theme of this chapter. God said, if you can't run with the footmen, how are you going to run with the horses? All we got to do is mount up. We don't have to dread these problems. They have nothing to do with what God can do in us. It's not what they do, it's what God can do in us. All right. He said, it should come to pass after that I have plucked them out, I will return and have compassion on them, and will bring them again, every man to his heritage, and every man to his land. And it shall come to pass, if they will diligently learn the ways of my people, to swear by my name, the Lord liveth, as they taught my people to swear by Baal, then shall they be built in the midst of my people. So, that's the hope I'm talking about. You can be built up right where you are, surrounded by demonic people. He said, but if they will not obey, I will utterly pluck up and destroy that nation, saith the Lord. So, no matter what happens and how bad it is, God is able to raise us up anyway. And that's what He did in my life. I learned all these things, and in every testimony I got, there was things that was happening that I was trying to deal with, and I sought the Lord about. And then I learned beautiful golden things. And this is the sad thing, you know. I thought that people would love to hear what God had told me. Very, very few of my friends, we can have an intelligent conversation about things the Lord taught. And they're receptive to me, and I'm receptive to them. But most people don't want to know. Or they act like they don't want to know. You talk about the things of God, they got something to do all of a sudden. Now, I'm not trying to pick on people. This is a mindset that is out there. That, you know, sometimes guys have talked about how they were tempted, and I would tell them things about, they didn't want to know that because they didn't want to be accountable. So I had to be discreet about what I said. And if they want to know, then they'll learn. But some people, they want to cheat sometimes. So they want to cheat on their wife sometimes. So they don't really want to know how not to do it, because they like the darkness. And people like that, you know, I can't help them. And but if you really want what's right, it's there. It's there. God is there. He's always there. And if you want to know Him, you can. Now, I was talking about yesterday's broadcast. I ended talking about reserves and allowances. If you decide I'm gonna get rid of my allowances, things that I allow that's not of God or that's holding me back, and I'm gonna get rid of reserves that's not of God or something. Reserves are not always evil. Sometimes it's just something that's not helping you. Same thing with allowances. They're not always evil, but it's just not, it's something that's not helping you. And if you got rid of it, you'll be better off. Now, it's like debt or the mindset to get in debt. These are things people allow. Fears, you know, you have to deal. Fears is evil. It's just, it's an attack. You're allowing an attack to exist in your being. Unbelief, that's an attack, that's existing. If you have to drive those demons out, they produce problems. Trusting the wrong people. Sometimes people allow people in their life that they shouldn't be in their life, or they want the person and they reserve. They won't let them go. They know the man cheating on them, but they won't let him. God want to drive them out of their life, and they keep holding on to him. So reserves and allowances can be people. Everything that's holding you back, drive it out. Let it go. Divorce is not the end of the world. Sometimes it's promotion. And I thought I'd never say something like that, but after spending time with the Lord, I see why. Some people are treacherous, and they need to be away from you. Love them from a distance. I don't hate anybody, but if a person is treacherous, let them go. They don't need to be there. They're going to mess your life up, and they're going to hold you back because Satan is holding them back.